If you'd love to find that Job 23 in your Bible, just in front of Psalms, roughly in the middle of your Bible, we carry on in our mini-series, Desperate Questions. And we look at the questions that Job raised in his turbulent period of trial. But of course, before we do anything, we need to ask for God's assistance. So let's do that now, shall we? Dear Lord, as we approach you and your holy word, we are perfectly aware of our inadequacies to be able to grasp you, our dullness and slowness to comprehend your word. And yet, dear Lord, we know that truth and life and light are to be found in you and through the power of your word. So we're asking you now, dear Lord, for your Holy Spirit's grace and strength to pay attention, to be captivated, to be embraced by the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. And in Job 23, we read in verse 3 this question that Job throws up, almost in exasperation. If only I knew where to find God, I would go to his court. Only I knew. Where can I find God is the question. Where can I find God? Reading the book of Job, it's a bit of a painful thing to do because it lays bare, doesn't it? The soul of Job, his circumstances, it's a no-holds-barred book. The words he speaks in his defense to his, quote, friends, unquote. The answers he gives them are very intense, emotional, and very often there are a knee-jerk reaction rather than a thought-out reaction. But then given his circumstances, you can hardly blame him for that, can you? Clarity of thoughts and clarity of argument you would not expect in the situation that you find poor Job in. And we think, as we, if you've ever read the book of Job, well, I can recommend it. In fact, I can recommend the Bible, actually. You can read it all. But if you read the book of Job and persevere, and you see the arguments, the long-winded talks that his friends give him, these words of his so-called friends, they're critical, they're fault-finding, and they imply, in various and different ways, all of them, you must have done something really bad, Job, to be judged like this. And when you look at what they're saying, you think, how could you be so insensitive? What they did was let the argument take over the circumstances, and they sought to win the argument. They just got to get that point across. That is not a Christian virtue. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about the gospel and you shouldn't witness about the gospel, but we do it with grace and gentleness. And it's not about getting your point across at any cost and winning an argument. You might, if you're a Christian, win an argument, but you won't win a soul. But Job is in agony, poor guy. He's in turmoil in his mind and his body, which is racked with sores and pains. He's the one that's lost family, he's lost possessions, he's lost social standing. Everybody takes a wide walk around Job now, whereas once the whole society recognised him as a senior citizen and they approached him and had dealings with him, but now they keep him at a distance. He's the one who's racked with pain because of all these sores and scabs all over his body. And his sense of loss is almost total. I mean, he couldn't be more at a loss. Helpless. Hopeless. You must be very hard-hearted if you can't find even an ounce of sympathy for Job. Children love games, don't they? A popular game is hide and seek. I know it's popular because my granddaughters are always trying to get me to play. You wouldn't believe some of the places I find so hard. In the washing basket, they never think to look in there. But if they had a brain, they'd see the pile of washing outside. Or on the window ledge behind the curtain in my bedroom. That really fogs them. I was 3 days up there before they found me. Hide and seek. For Job, it was like hide and seek. It was as if God was hidden and he was seeking. Job sums up what perhaps some people, at least thinking, reflective people, think. Where is God? Who is God? Where can I find him? Where can I find him? Now, you would have thought that would be an easier question to answer, wouldn't you? There's 30 churches in Colchester. The land is smothered in churches, from pagan Inverness down to civilised England in the south. And yet there will be very few gospel churches where you will actually find God. You'll hear a lot about him. You'll get a lot of messages and feel-good factors, and you might even be entertained. It might appeal to you. But nothing's going to change your life in too many places, I fear. And so there are some thoughtful, reflective people who ask, where is God when you're looking for him? I've tried that, and I've tried this, and I've been there, and I've done that. That might be the question you're asking right now. Where is God? I really want to find him and know him. Where can I find him? Well, you've come to the right place, as the adverts say. And you in particular, if you are seeking and searching, you can sympathise with this desperate question of Job. Where can I find God? I want to find God. I don't just want to know about him, I want to know him. I want some reality and meaning. Where can I find him? This is an instant age, isn't it? Instant copy. Instant internet access. Instant cash dispensers. That's a particularly painful one. And all the waiting I'm prepared to do is measured in seconds. Seeking an immediate reply or solution. Isn't that the case? We've been conditioned there to expect this. And some would say, as regards to God, why don't I get a reply when I pray, or as soon as I pray, and seek him? But to be truly seeking the Lord, and to be found by him, takes careful and diligent inquiry. In this context, there's nothing instant about this. I'm not saying God can't intervene and step in, he does sometimes dramatically, but usually, most of the time, you have to be a seeker. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because they're on the motorway, hurtling down it to hell. You have to put the handbrake on, stop, think, and turn off onto the lay-by, and then look for the narrow way, the old paths, walking those. And the vast majority fail to do this, frankly, because they can't be bothered. It's not part of the instant, self-gratifying society that we live in. It means I've got to get out of bed. I've got to go out into our lovely, invigorating English climate and go down to a church. And that funny little church that's tucked away in Artillery Street. And then I've got to meet with these peculiar people. I can't be bothered. And I can't be bothered because they have no idea how desperate that position is before the Holy God of Heaven. Now, I don't wish to be unkind, but maybe that's you. I don't know your domestic circumstances or your personal circumstances, but maybe you haven't made it to God's house to hear the words of life, because frankly, it's too much aggravation. It wouldn't be too much aggravation if you knew how desperate your plight is. You're on the edge of a precipice, and there's only one answer, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to be told that in many places today. Here is the most desperate question for today. It's Job's 18th question. Where can I find God? His friend's advice is no good whatsoever. He'd had the religious opinions, philosophical opinions, moral opinions. And Job really is saying, well, alright, advice is one thing, but why the silence? Why the silence? We're used to noise all around us, aren't we? How strange it seems to me, even now, to see someone walking along talking to themselves. Only to discover they've got two little earplugs in their head, and they've got some around here. And, you know, it took me months to work that out. I thought there was a lot of lunatics let loose in prison. Well, that may be the case, I don't know. A car pulls up in the street and the crashing and the banging coming from it is unbelievable. It's deafening me and I'm 15 yards away. Distracting noise all around us. You can't go anywhere, can you, without pipe music. I can't eat a meal without some reggae rhyme in the background going away at me as I'm trying to stick a sausage in my mouth. Even Marks and Spencer's, the most English of stores, you've got to have it. You've got to have the music. In the changing cubicles. In the toilet. I mean, in the toilet. Come on. Give me a break. Noise. Everywhere. And if you live near an airport, you have my sympathy. But if you want a cheap house, that's your choice. If ever the scripture was true, Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. No wonder few people are finding him. They're even going to so-called churches today and it's noise. Bang, crash, twang. Bang, crash, twang. We're in the spirit. No, you're not. You're in the noise. Sorry, I'm being cynical. That's what you get when you grow old. Now you know why Christian daily devotions is called a quiet time. Be still and know that I am God. Now this may account for why something like music is so important for so many people. It prevents quiet, reflective moments in which they will have to consider what's going on around them, the creation. And God forbid, they might even start thinking about eternity and God, and that would never do. Quick, fill it up with some noise. Plug in. But Job, poor Job, all he's got is the noise of his friends and their drivel. He's not getting any answers to his prayers. He feels. And this silence and the feeling that something is wrong is causing him great consternation. It's breaking his heart. It's like a child speaking to the parents and the parents refuses to answer. As if they're looking away. And it causes the child great consternation to know that somehow there's been this fracture in the relationship and the communication. What's wrong? Speak! Say something! How desperate this all is. Lord, are you there? Please, speak. And the advice he gets from his friends is useless. Advice is one thing, but how can I do it? Job's friend, Eliphaz, tells him what's what. In chapter 22, the previous chapter, he puts in straight. Verse 23, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. Verse 27, you will pray to him and he will hear you. And you will fulfill your vow to him. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do, and light will shine on the road ahead of you. And Job's reply is, yeah, but I've done all that. I've done all that and more. And yet still, I can't find him or get an answer from him. Return? Yes, I want to return. I'm trying. I keep on praying. But it seems to me he doesn't hear. Now that's not true, Job, because we're told unequivocally in God's word, the Bible, that his ears are open to the cry of his people, and he is also inclined to those who are of a humble and a contrite heart. He doesn't hear the proud, the arrogant, the celebrities, the rich, and all the rest of it. What seems to us isn't always the case. A non-answer to prayer, there is no such thing. Now, of course, if you've not had dealings with Jesus, then unless you're praying for repentance and to get right with God, then your prayers aren't going to get through because they're going to be misplaced and misdirected. Because we're told in the Bible, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God so that he does not hear. So you've got to come and do business with Jesus first. But if you're a believer, you've had struggles, you've had trials, you are having struggles, you are having trials, and you pray and you yearn. But the answer's here all the time. It's under your nose. He's given the answer. And even if your circumstances and your personal condition needs to change, we are told that he is answering your prayer. He's putting things in place. Things have to be arranged, and that's what he's doing. Maybe that involves you coming to the end of yourself over a period of months, years, before you realise and you surrender and you submit, and then you see and you perceive and you acknowledge the answer. He is answering your prayers one way or another. But he wants you to know that you need him and you must submit to him. And why would you not? He's a loving, gracious, merciful God. But Job, he's all over the place, poor man. I get the advice and I follow it, and then what? And the friends, well, they just keep saying, oh, well, you obviously haven't done it properly, you know. Really? Big help you lot are. And this is what it means to be a Job's comforter. Cold comfort. Do you feel like this today? You've been told what to do, but you can't do it. Goodness me, we've heard it from this pulpit enough times. You know the way, the truth, and the life, and you know that you must bend the knee and hand everything over to Jesus Christ, but you can't do it. So where are you going to get the strength, the grace, and the power for this transformation to happen? Well, you're not going to find it in the world, and sad to say, increasingly, you're not going to find it in a lot of churches. There's a famous anti-Christian philosopher called Aldous Huxley, who embraced humanistic philosophy. I think this is back in the 30s. He was an atheist and an evolutionist. Wrote lots of books. They're all gathering dust in the archives of the British Library. Nobody reads them anymore. When asked at the end of his life what advice he would give mankind, do you know what he said? Try to be a little kinder. Is that it? Try to be a little kinder. What pathetic advice to a dying world. That's the best human philosophy can come up with. Perhaps that's where John Lennon got his idea for his song, All You Need Is Love. All you need is love. It's easy if you try. Can't. Won't. Can't be done. The track record of humanity and history shows us the utter failure of this kind of philosophy, this inane, pathetic sentimentality. From worldly philosophers who try to rule out God and his gospel light, from songs that you hear sung. The reason being, of course, there's always the problem of the human heart. Nothing's going to work, John. Nothing's going to work, Aldous. Nothing's going to work because of your human heart. It's got to be changed. It's got to be changed. It is diseased, plagued, riddled with sin from birth. You can mock and scoff all you like, but you tell me what answers evolution's got. That science fiction fairy story, it's got none. It's got no answers. If we're progressing up this ladder of progression, why are people still killing each other, hating each other, and grasping everything? Surely we're leaving all that behind, aren't we? If evolution is true. And what about the monkeys still in the zoo? They failed to catch up or something, they didn't get out. I digress. The advice is good, my friends, but how can I do it? How can I do it? Well, Jesus answers this question, and he's the only person that answers this question. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. Are you labouring? Do you feel the load of your sin and life and the weights? Are you like trying to wade through treacle and you can't find any answers and you can't find any peace? Or are you quite satisfied with your lot? You think everything's hunky-dory like some do or try and convince themselves? Then Jesus Christ isn't for you. There is no solution for you and you can just indulge yourself and enjoy life in eternity in hell. You come to me, you labour, you're heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rest, peace, satisfaction, joy, contentment is found only in Jesus Christ. I will go on record as stating that. I will state that in a newspaper, on a television interview, in any conversation I have. Jesus Christ is the answer, the only solution. I am gentle and lowly. He's the mighty God of the universe. He holds it all together. He brought it into being at a word. And yet, he would come alongside the likes of you and me because he's lowly and gentle. That's how great God is. He can lower himself down to where you are. That's how loving he is. How great is our God. All the world said is do, do, do. Try, try, try. And it's the same with religion. Do, do, do. Try, try, try. When it should be, can't. Be, be, be. I need to be something and someone different. Jesus says, come to me, God's only Son. Perhaps, like Job, you've looked in various places for answers, but you haven't found the Lord there. You haven't found peace or answers or satisfaction. You've looked at the East, Eastern religions, Buddhism, Islam, Shintoism, Etao. They're all very appealing to the religious intellect, but God isn't there. You can't sense him or feel him. Oh, you can have a moral routine, you can bow and scrape on a mat, point in the same direction, umpteen times a day. It's just a ritual. There's no meaning in it. There's no sense of God in it. There's no change of heart in it. There's no relationship in it. You're not connected through it. You can look to the West. Fulfillment in materialism, entertainment, self-satisfaction and gratification, possessions, stuff. But no joy, just emptiness and vanity. You know it, don't you? You know it. You can look to the North, nothing. You can look to the South, nothing. Do you know where Job hadn't looked? He hadn't looked up. Look up. And that's what you need to do. Look up to the hill, to the cross of Jesus Christ, where all the world's problems and emptiness is met and given meaning in the blood of the Son of God who takes away sins. It will only be found at the cross. You can listen to endless drivel on the radio and on the telly, opinions, opinions and opinions. But I tell you, in 2,000 years, the solution is only in Christ and it has never changed. Jesus said, and I'll die with these words on my mouth, John 14 verse 6, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the life. There's going to be no other life, now or in eternity. I am the truth. There's no other truth outside of me, says Jesus. No one comes to the Father. No one's going to get to heaven unless you come through me, says Jesus. I am the one appointed by God the Father. How is it that we so easily miss the obvious? Well, there you go. There's proof of sin in the human heart. We will have anything, but we will not have this man rule over us. Pride, arrogance. See the effects of sin. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you without Jesus Christ. Opinions will destroy you and drag you to hell. Blind, deaf, dead, dead man walking, spiritual zombies, and I say this out of pity and love, they're all around you. Oh, they think they're full of life, they think they're having a great time. Well, if they're honest, they're not. Spiritual zombies, comatose, comatose. Advice is one thing, revelation is another. I need revelation. I need God revealed to me. I need to have my eyes and my heart and my mind opened, cleansed, to take him in and to be transformed and changed, cleaned up and got ready for heaven. And that's only going to happen through the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ. And he's got to flood into your heart, and you've got to invite him in, you've got to open up your heart's door, and you've got to bend the knee. It's so easy, it's difficult, because it involves acknowledging and humbling and bending the knee. I mean, that's going right against the grain, isn't it? Further proof of what I'm saying. Sin in the human heart will prevent you. And that little voice whispering in your ear, oh, don't listen to him, he's droning on again. You know, that hellfire and brimstone guy with a dusty old book. Boy, he's a peculiar person. You got it, don't you? Don't listen to him. You know, and already you're thinking about this afternoon's match, aren't you? And you can smell the gravy and the roast beef in your nostrils already. Satan's pulling out the stops for you. Further evidence that you meet Jesus, because he doesn't want you to leave his game, does Satan. Job has faith in the Lord. It's a bit imperfect and he slips and slides, but he still has faith in the Lord. He's trusting him for his salvation. Even though he lets his feelings and his emotions get the better of him. And when these feelings come across him, these periods of dark depression, he doesn't feel that God is near. And the point is, he is near. What you feel isn't necessarily what's true. Although, if you allow God to work in your heart, what is true should and will be felt. Job almost instantly recognises this. Job 23, verse 10. But he knows where I am going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. For I have stayed on God's paths. I have followed his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. For once he has made his decision, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. You must have God reveal yourself, reveal himself to you. You've got to have this revelation. You've got to meet with Jesus. You've got to have this transaction. You've got to make this transaction with him. You've got to hand over soul and sin and life, and you will receive forgiveness, mercy, new life, new heart, a transformation, the likes of which you have never known before, your eyes open to see and to understand, to feel and to sense in here, through God the Holy Spirit. You need to do this. You need this revelation. God must reveal himself to you. Has he? Where can I find him? Well, he has revealed himself. Through his word, through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the end of your quest. You've arrived. Now do it. The tragedy is that so many, the vast majority, fail to see God in Jesus Christ. He's just a swear word. Doesn't that grate on you, cringe on you when you hear that? Should do if you're a believer. Jesus said, know and understand, know and understand that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you've seen me, you've read about me, you've heard about me, you see me there in the Gospels, you've seen me, you've seen God. Because I am God. We have the answer. It's right under your nose, Job. It's right under your nose. It's here. Have you come to rest? Have you followed his advice? Come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Hand it all over to me. Hand it all over to me. Where can I find God? You come to me. You come to me. No one else is going to give you this rest. No one's going to give you this peace, this joy, this contentment, this satisfaction, this confidence that even though your body dies, you will go on for eternity. Eternity starts today. Bruce was in eternity before he passed away. He just had to get rid of the body. You will have to just get rid of the body. You will leave the building one day. Where will you spend eternity? Is it with Jesus? Have you handed it all over to him? Soul, sin and lot, have you received his mercy? He knows all about you. He knows what you've done. He knows all your dirty washing, your thoughts, your impulses, your inclinations, your doubts, your fears, your failings, your flaws. Goodness me, does he know them? And I'm incredulous that he still died for the likes of me. That's how much he loves you. Cling to him. Throw yourself on his mercy. He will not turn you away. He will not parade your dirty washing for the world to see. Do business with Jesus. Sort it out with him. He will make you right. He will make you clean. He will give you a new heart. He will make you a real Christian, covered and in Christ, covered by Christ, to dwell with Christ, Christ in you, part of you, Lord, Saviour and friend. Come to me, said Jesus. Come to me. Where can I find him? You can find him in Jesus. This is the end of the quest. You've arrived. Do it. Do it today. You're in the lost and found department. And Jesus has come to collect you today. Let's do business with him now, shall we? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge and confess all my sins to you, and it's hopeless trying to do and expect anything apart from you. The world disappoints. No one's got any answers. Even religion hasn't got any answers. All the answers are to be found in you. I come to you now. I bend the knee. I gratefully receive your mercy and your forgiveness. And my prayer is, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Give me a new heart. Give me hope, sure hope, confidence in you. New heart, new life. I'm coming to you now, Lord. I'm coming to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.